This morning I want to preach on the idea, or maybe even the fact, that we can't always get what we want. I'm not going to break out into a Rolling Stones routine this morning, I promise you. I have no interest in that. But I couldn't think of a more fitting title to call this message than to just simply say, you can't always get what you want. And that is an important lesson that I believe God tries to teach us over and over and over again. And I believe that in that lesson there is a lot of grace, long-suffering, and patience that God gives us to teach us that lesson. But the Bible is very clear that this whole thing boils down to one thing, and that's God getting His way and us submitting to that. And so I really felt compelled this morning to share a message with you about not getting what we want and the way we want it. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. I hope it'll be a help to you, because there is a great Christian in God's Word who had to learn this same lesson. And he had to learn it the hard way. And I wish I could say that God teaches us lessons the easy way, but often it's us who chooses to have the lessons done the hard way. If you've noticed at all in Scripture, particularly in the Gospels, you're going to watch the lives of the disciples. And you're going to see them interact with Christ and interact with each other. And one of the overriding themes that you'll see in the gospel is one thing. And that is that the disciples are always looking at the temporary. That the disciples are always looking at the here and now. Some might say they're always looking at the physical, right? You know, we often talk about examples of that and use that as illustrations in sermons and in discussion. And a couple of one that come to mind, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, right? And Jesus was speaking spiritually, and so he gave them a spiritual answer, and they didn't get it. Remember that? Remember the time when the disciples were listening to Jesus Christ talk and Jesus was talking about bread, and they looked at themselves and they said, we don't have any money, where are we going to get bread from? Of course, Jesus was speaking spiritually again. And over, we see examples of how Jesus Christ is always trying to interact with the disciples on a spiritual level, but they don't get it, because they're looking at the temporal. And let me say this morning that in order for us to understand what God is doing when we don't understand, it will require the ability to look beyond the temporal into the eternal. Are you with me this morning? And so that's what I want to do, is look at this great example in the life of a Christian who was very much like you and me. He had his ups, he had his downs, he had his successes, and he had his failures. There were times that he put his foot in his mouth, and there were times that he said some very brilliant things. Have you ever had that happen? Where you say something and you kind of step back and you go, wow, I can't believe that it came out of my mouth. That was profound. And then almost in the same breath, you can say something that you just shove your foot right in your mouth and you feel like an idiot for even uttering those words. The man who I want to look at this morning, his name is Peter. You know him. And where I want us to look, first of all, is in Luke chapter number 22. And I want you to see this. I'm going to show you different parts of the same event because I want you to see the whole picture. I think so often we're caught up in passages of Scripture, and when we do that, what ends up happening is that we only see part of the story. This morning, I want to attempt anyway to show the whole story so that you can see why the things happened the way that they did. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 34 is where we're going to start. It says in verse 34, he says, "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Look at what he says in verse 37. "For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." Look at verse 38. "And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough." I want you to understand what's going on here, because it is key to understanding that you can't always get what you want. And I want you to see this morning that here is Peter and the disciples standing there proclaiming their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, their undying loyalty and commitment to His cause. Jesus looks back at them and says, "Peter, this day is not even going to end before you will deny me three times and you will hear the cock crow." And then his instructions are rather strange, because he says, "Go and sell what you have and buy swords." Let me say that again in case you missed it. He said, "Go and sell what you have and buy swords." He says, because the time is coming when it'll all be accomplished. Knowing what we know about Peter and the disciples, that they were very much focused on the physical. That would be like one of us telling somebody in this church, "Go and sell everything you have because we need to get some guns. The time has come." Thoughts would go through your mind, right? "Oh, what are we doing, Pastor Brandon? Are we storming the Capitol? Well, what's happening?" You would get an idea of what I have in mind and what I'm trying to accomplish, right? And it would be based on your preconceived ideas. You know, after reading the whole passage and story of Peter and his denial and all of that, I'm more inclined to be very understanding of Peter, because I think that after reading the whole story, I believe I would probably do the same thing. He stood before Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ told him, "Peter, go sell your garments and buy swords." And Peter says, "Here are two." And Jesus says, "It is enough." And the very next statement that Christ makes is that he says, "My will is going to be accomplished very soon." I think any one of us in here would have the same idea, the same thoughts in our mind, the same preconceived notions of what Jesus Christ was talking about. We see this undying loyalty and commitment to Jesus Christ. Peter is ready to fight and die for the Lord. Now I want you to look at Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, and I want you to look with me at verse number 69, and I want you to understand, first of all, this is the same chapter of what we just read, and this is the same day of what we just read. Do you understand that Peter, what we just read, was willing to lay down his life for the Lord. And I don't doubt his sincerity at all. I really don't. I think Peter was ready to take those swords, ready to sell what he had, and get armored up, and head out, and fight for the cause. Right? Because to them, the kingdom was physical. Jesus Christ, while he was here, was trying to teach him that the kingdom is not physical, the kingdom is spiritual. Look at what he says in verse 69. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And then he was gone out the porch. Another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. In verse number 73, And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I think I could probably figure out why he wept, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. What I want you to see as we start off with this is the great contrast within a matter of hours. That at one point Peter was ready to go and sell what he had and get swords and get armored up and get ready to go out and fight and die for the kingdom and the cause of Christ. And just a matter of hours later, he is denying before everyone that he even knows Christ. And you say, well, his commitment wasn't sincere. He was just faking, putting on a show. No, I believe Peter was very sincere. I think he would have laid down his life at that very moment. You say, well, how in the world could he go from that to being a coward and denying the Lord? One single incident that was used to show Peter, you can't always get what you want. You with me? Here's the first thing I want you to look at. I want you to look, first of all, at Peter's regret. Are you with me so far this morning? Look at Matthew chapter 26 and look at verse number 47. This is what's happening in between the two passages that we just read. He says in verse number 47, And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12 came with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. So here, Judas is coming to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Peter sees this, what do you think Peter does? Peter goes, oh yeah, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. Right? This is what the Lord was talking about. Here we go. This is why He told us to go sell what we had and get swords. This is why when I said, I've got two, and the Lord said, it's enough. Right? Here we go, boys. Now he that betrayed him, in verse number 48, gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which John identifies as Peter, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote his ear off. Right? Peter says, it's time to go, boys. And they got hold of Jesus and they took Him. And Peter says, oh no, we're ready. The Lord told us to be prepared. And he flung that sword out and he was ready to go to battle. I think the only thing that surprised him was that the other guys didn't follow suit and go right along with him. Right? Because this is the way it's supposed to turn out. This is the way I want it to turn out. I want to fight and I want to die for the kingdom. And Jesus Christ is the King and we're going to take these Romans and we're going to run them back to where they came from. And we're going to liberate Israel and we'll be the greatest nation in the world once again. Right? That's what I want. The problem is Jesus is thinking in His mind, Peter, you can't always get what you want. And look at what happened. And I believe this next statement by Christ is what brought Peter from being a die-hard loyalist of Jesus Christ in a matter of hours to somebody who denied even knowing Him. It is the way Jesus responded. Look at how Christ responded. Remember, Christ had just told them a few hours ago, go and sell everything you have and buy swords. Peter said, I've got two. And what? Christ said, okay, that's enough. Right? This is all going according to Peter's plan. It's all going according to the way Peter wanted. The way he had envisioned it. The problem is things don't always turn out the way we envision it. And Jesus Christ says in verse number 52, He said unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? You know what Peter's thinking? Lord, You just told us to get swords. Remember, Lord, I told You I had two, and You said that's enough. Remember, You told us to go sell everything we had and get swords. Lord, I'm just doing what You told me to do. Boy, oftentimes our will and God's will, we can make them look very, very similar. We just spiritualize it, you know. I'm just serving the Lord. And all of a sudden, Jesus, in a matter of hours, turns into a pacifist? What's going on? Put up your sword? Those that live by the sword, die by the sword. The problem is Christ is speaking spiritually and Peter's speaking physically and Peter wants what he wants and the Lord's trying to teach him, you can't always get what you want. His regret was that this thing ain't turning out the way that he had thought. We envisioned Jesus Christ was going to be the King. That these guys were going to come take Him and we were going to fight Him and we were going to kill Him and we were going to win and we're going to install Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. Problem is that Jesus Christ is not only the King of Israel, He's the King of the universe. And that's what they didn't get. So I want you to notice, first of all, His regret. Meaning that it didn't go His way. Meaning, He's not getting what He wants. You and I are the same way. We have envisioned what our life should look like. Amen. And we use passages of Scripture to support that. And we say, well, you know, the Lord wants me to do this, so this is what I'm going to do. And we spiritualize it and we make it look good. The problem is, what God's thinking isn't always what you're thinking. And God's mind isn't your mind. And His thoughts aren't your thoughts. Saith the Lord, by the way. Right? And so we come to this place oftentimes in our lives where we go, but God, I thought it was going to turn out like this. God, I thought this was supposed to happen. Lord, I wanted this. And God goes, yeah, but you can't always get what you want. If all of us got whatever we wanted, we'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. And God's not in the business of spoiling His children. He's in the business of teaching us practical realities about life. And one of those practical realities is you can't always get what you want. Peter's regret is often the same as our regret. Something happens and we go, but God, it wasn't supposed to be like that. Something takes place in our life and, but God, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I envisioned. That's not the direction I was going. I wasn't expecting that, Lord. We're very much like Peter. And I think since we're very much like Peter, we need to very much learn the same lesson that we can't always get what we want. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to look at not only Peter's regret, but I want you to look at his response. Because I think also, as much as we have the same regret, we often have the same response. And the response is found in this passage. Matthew chapter 26, and look at verse number 69, of course. This is the denial of Peter, right? We already read this passage. He denies once. He denies twice. He denies three times. Each one with a different spin in his response. But at the end, the cock crows, and he immediately knows what's going on. You know, the sad thing about this is that we call this Peter's denial, and certainly he denied knowing the Lord. That's indisputable from Scripture. But I think this is more about Peter running than it is about his denial. Because you know what our response is? I've been a student of human behavior for a long time. Your response is the same as my response, which is the same as Peter's response. When we don't get our way, what do? We run away. Just like little children, what do little children do when they don't get their way? They run away and they hide in the woods. Right? I've heard stories of parents, you know, telling their kids to do something, they don't do it, and their kids are in their room packing their bags. Where are you going? I'm running away. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I'm just running away. Little kids walking down the road with suitcases in their hand. Why? Because they didn't get what they wanted. We run away is what I'm saying. When we don't get what we want, we run away. That's what Peter's doing. He goes to one fire and they say, hey, aren't you the guy? I don't even know the guy. And he runs to the next fire. Hey, aren't you the guy? Well, I don't even know the guy. And what happens? He runs to the next fire. You see, when we want it our way, and God's trying to teach us you can't have it your way, and we realize we're not getting our way, what we do, like little children, is stomp our feet, and we run away. And we run to the next situation, we run to the next problem, we run to the next place, we run over here, we run over there. The problem is that we are running, and we think we're moving forward, but we're not, we're regressing. Peter thinks he's getting somewhere. Well, I can't get anywhere at this fire. All right, I'll go to the next fire. I'm not getting anywhere at this fire. All right, I'll go to the next fire. And Peter just keeps running around and around and around and around, and he's not getting anywhere. We think we're progressing. It's a joke. It's a facade. When we're running because we can't get what we want, guess what? We are going backward. You want to know why Peter denied the Lord? It wasn't because he was a coward. Peter was not a coward. I'm sorry, there's nowhere in Scripture you can show me where Peter was a coward. You know why Peter denied the Lord three times? Because he didn't get what he wanted. And when you don't get what you want, and God has other plans, sometimes we end up getting bitter at God. Think about the whole picture of the story. Here's Peter. He's saying, my love, Lord, for you will never die. Right? I will die for you, Lord. The Lord says, Peter, this day's not going to end before you'll deny me three times. Then the Lord says, looking at this systematically, the Lord says, all right, go and buy swords. Sell what you have and buy swords. Peter says, I've got two. He says, it's enough. Then the very next thing is they come to arrest Peter, or they come to arrest Christ, and Peter attacks the guy, and Jesus Christ yells at him for doing what Peter seemingly thought he was supposed to do. Folks, if that happened to any one of us, you'd get a little bitter too. And I would get bitter. And so the very next thing is we see Peter denying him three times. Peter's regret was that it wasn't turning out the way he wanted. His response was that he ran away. It's no different than your response. It's no different than my response. Whenever we don't get our way, what is innately in us is to run away, is to flee. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, he has trouble with some things. Look at verse number 70. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He has trouble, first of all, with statements. I want you to notice this statement was made in front of everybody. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be careful what you say in front of other people when you're on the run.
Amen?
Amen. You have to say, be careful what you say around your children when you're on the run. You should be careful what you say around young Christians when you're on the run. You should be careful what you say around your husband or your wife when you're on the run. You know why? Because you can discourage them. And you know what? You can take your bitterness and you can plant it like a little seed in your kids by saying something out of turn in front of your children because you're not getting what you want. And life isn't turning out the way you envisioned it. And you make a little statement, and before you know it, your kids are bitter at God just like you. You better be careful what you say. Flippant statements in front of other people when you're on the run can do a lot of harm and can do irreparable damage. Amen? Be careful when you're on the run, when things aren't turning out the way you want. When you see God moving in a different direction, all of a sudden you realize you're making statements and saying things that are affecting other people and bringing them down and discouraging them and putting doubt and question in their mind. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord doesn't give questions and doubt. The Lord gives answers and surety and confidence. It's Satan that puts doubt and question in people's minds. Not only did he have trouble with statements while he's on the run, but he also had trouble with truth. Look at verse number 72. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Here's Peter, and he swore to an oath. He said, look, I'm telling you, I will give an oath that I know not the man. John the Baptist lost his head over an oath. It is a little different in this day and age when words don't mean so much. But back then, when you made an oath, it meant something. Your honor was on the line. And he was willing to stand there before them all and say, look, you guys, I am telling you, I will give an oath. I will put my hand on the Bible and say, I don't know him. He has trouble with truth. Because if you've seared your conscience to the point where you can make an oath to something that is blatantly not true, then you have trouble with truth. And when you're on the run, you have trouble with your statements. And when you're on the run, you have trouble with truth. Yeah. Because truth represents God's way. And when you're on the run and you can't get what you want, you represent your way. You know what I've seen people who are on the run because they can't get what they want? What do? Oh, they make things up. We've talked about this before, right? There's gaps in information. And so what do these people do? Well, truth doesn't matter, so we'll just fill in the gaps with our own information that may or may not be accurate. Right? You can't always get what you want. And oftentimes when we don't get what we want, We hit the road, Jack. And we go on the run. And we get bitter at God, and when we're on the run, and when we're bitter at God, it doesn't matter what comes out of our mouth, it doesn't matter the statements that we make and the people that are around us, it doesn't matter what truth is, the truth doesn't matter, we're just going to make up story all on our own, because we didn't get what we want. Right? Folks, it's easy to do. We would never call that a lie, would we? Because we're not liars. But it's really easy to do. It's easy to spin statements. It's easy to tell half-truths. It's easy to represent one side. It's really easy to tip things in our favor to get people to be sympathetic to us because we didn't get our way. And at that point, truth doesn't matter. Here's the last one. Look at verse number 74. He says, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man,' and immediately the cock crew." Look, you know what happened? His attitude changed. Right? His attitude changed. Here now, he gets angry and he's like, oh, and he's throwing out swear words and cuss words, right? Because he wants to put as much distance between Jesus and himself as possible. And if my conversation is the complete polar opposite of Christ's conversation, they will believe what I'm saying. I don't know him. Right? His attitude changed. He got angry and he got bitter and he was entrenched in getting what he wanted. Can I say this to you this morning, that there is a great value in learning early on you can't always get what you want? Don't we teach our children that? You know, we say in our house, this statement always comes up in our house, "It's not fair." My response always is, Kaylee knows that, I can see her lipping it right now. It's like, "Life's not fair. Life's not fair." You know what that is? That's my addition, or that's my translation of, you can't always get what you want. Right? And when something happens and you don't get what you want, and it's turning out different, and God's involved in it, and now you're fighting against God, look, you aren't as careful about what you say around people. You don't care about hurting them. Right? Truth all of a sudden doesn't become as important, because what I want is more important than truth. And your attitude changes. All of a sudden, you who were once joyous and happy because Jesus Christ saved you, now all of a sudden you're bitter and angry because you can't get your way. Oh boy, there's a lot to learn here, isn't there? I want you to look at the next. We see Peter's regret. We see his response. I want you to look at Peter's regression. I hope you understand this morning that you are in one of two states. You are either moving forward or you're moving backward. Amen. You know what I hate? I hate that the world has hijacked all these words like progression, progress, right? I don't like that. That's a fine word to use. Who doesn't like progress? But almost like if you use that kind of phrase nowadays, if you say, you know, well, we got to progress, all of a sudden Sean would look at me and go, "What are you, some kind of liberal pastor?" Yeah. Right? Nope. Who doesn't like progress? Moving forward, right? Or you're moving backward. Sometimes we explain to people, we're like, "Well, you know, I'm kind of stagnant in my spiritual growth right now." No, you're not. Nobody's stagnant. What, are you kidding me? You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. And if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. And Peter learned that lesson. All of a sudden, he didn't get what he wanted. It wasn't turning out the way he had envisioned. And so what's his response? Well, I'm going to go on the run. I'm getting out of here. I'm running away from this place. I'm moving on. Right? And there's a little bit, and we don't have time for it this morning, but there's a little bit of sabotage in his actions as well. I think that's something that I often see in human behavior too. Is that when we don't get what we want, guess what we do? We sabotage it. Oh yeah, Carrie's shaking her head. She knows because she sees that at work. Any manager in here knows you see that all the time. Your employees, if they don't get what they want, they will sabotage things to teach you a lesson. Listen, God doesn't need to be taught a lesson. Right? God doesn't need you to sabotage the situation. You know what we do? Deep in our head, oh, I'm getting deep in your brain now, aren't I? You know why? You know how I can go this deep in your brain? Because I've been there. Okay? Oh, if God's not going to give me what I want, then I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to just let the thing fall. I'm going to let it be destroyed. I'm going to let it crumble like dust. And then, when it's all destroyed, I'll look back and go, huh, looks like you should have given me what you wanted, God, or what I wanted, God. See, if I don't get what I want, then I'm not going to play. That's dangerous. That is dangerous. What's his regression? Well, let's look at it. Peter's regression. Look at John 21. Again, in the sequence of events, chronologically, we're staying in order, but John chapter 21, and I want you to see this. Look at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael at Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Look at verse number 3. Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. We're on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the resurrection. I mean, Jesus Christ, God, has just performed one of the greatest miracles on the behalf of mankind that could ever have been performed. Amen. And now Jesus is there, showing himself among his disciples. And what does Peter say? I can't believe this. This is so great. Now I understand what he means. And now I understand what he meant all along. No. You know what Peter says? I'm going fishing. What? Let me ask you. What was Peter doing when Jesus Christ first found him 3.5 years ago? He was fishing. You see, when you go on the run, you think you're moving forward, and you think you're escaping your problems, and you think that you're progressing. But guess really what you're doing? You're just going back to where you started from. Right? We often talk about people maturing in the Lord, but did you know that people can immature in the Lord?
That's true.
Right? Peter says, I go fishing. And he went back to doing the same thing he was doing when Christ found him. Why? You want to know why? Because Peter's still on the run. He's still not satisfied with God's way. He still wants his way. He still thinks we need swords and staves and go at them with war and killing, and we're going to set up this kingdom by force. And I didn't get what I wanted. And I can't have it my way. Yeah, but did you see? He's risen from the dead. Yeah, I know. I'm going to go fishing. All of a sudden, spiritual things become less important, right? Boy, the regression is vast, is it not? And I want you to notice the last and final thing. The last and final thing is Peter's restoration. How many are glad that God doesn't give up on us? That is the beauty of this story. Wouldn't have much of a message if we didn't have the fourth point here this morning. But Peter's regret, he didn't get what he wanted. Didn't go his way. Didn't turn out the way he envisioned. Right? What was his response? Well, I'm getting out of here. If I can't have it my way, I'm not going to play. His regression, he goes all the way back. 3.5 years, just like rewind the clock, and he's back fishing. And then the Lord steps in. You want to know what? You want to know why I think the Lord wasn't harder on Peter? Because the Lord knows the whole story. You know why I think he was looking at Peter? He's like, man, Peter, he would have died for me. He would have went to the grave for me. He was committed to me. He gave up his lucrative fishing business that his father left him, right? And I said, hey, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What did he do? They left their nets and followed him. Peter was devoted to me. And I put him to the test. I had things turn out a different way than he planned. And he failed the test. But that's all right. Because this is outcome-based education with Christ. And when we fail the test, guess what? We get to retake it. And we get to retake it until we pass the test. Praise the Lord. Right? Just keep retaking it. It's okay. If you're here this morning and things didn't turn out the way you wanted, if you're here this morning and things aren't going your way, I'm not here to chide you. I'm here to say, I've been there. Things have not turned out my way, and I ran as far away as I possibly could because I wasn't getting what I wanted, because things weren't going the way I had envisioned. I'm here to say, I know what it's like. And you feel yourself spiritually regressing and going back to doing the things that you used to do while you're on the run. Praise the Lord, God steps in before things get too out of control. Amen? God steps in. Christ steps in. Right? Look at John 21 and look at verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Now remember, Simon Peter still in the back of his mind is going, Lord, this didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to turn out. Right? And Jesus is going to teach him a lesson. But he's going to teach him a lesson, not with the rod, with grace. Grace and love. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now there's a lot in there. But let me just give you the surface for sake of time. And really the point that we want to pull from this is very simply, Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, I love you. Then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. You know what Jesus was saying? In short, I know there's more to it than this. But Jesus very simply was saying, Peter, if you love me, come on, let's do it my way. Right? Peter, if you love me, put down this thing that you want and get with my program. Amen? You know how I know that? Well, look at what he says. Verse number 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You know what he's saying? Peter, you are going to die old man. And look at what he says next. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Jesus Christ was saying, Peter, you are going to do a lot for the kingdom of God. And Peter, you have years and years and years to serve me. Right? And Jesus says, if you really love me, why don't you learn right now? Let's do it my way. And we'll do it together. Right? Man, God loves us. He loves us. And you know what? He does not want to punish us. You know what He wants? He wants us to see what He's trying to do. And he was telling Peter here, look, if you love me, Peter, if you really, truly love me, don't worry about what you want. Worry about what I want. Feed my sheep. Follow me. See? Look, I know this is easier said than done. And I know things happen in our lives and it turns our world upside down. But I want you to remember that God is always in control. Can I give you a quick illustration before we close? If you know the answer to this, don't say anything. I just want you to think about it in your minds. This is actually an entrance question. It's a question on an entrance exam for second graders in China. This should scare you. And what that's written in Chinese up there is it's asking this question. According to the sequence of numbers that you see, what is the number underneath the car in the second to the last parking spot? You say, doesn't make sense. The answer is so simple. So simple. Can I show you something? It took me a while to get it. I eventually got it. But the answer is so simple, and here it is. Look, my only point to this is saying, if something that simple can confuse you and turn your world upside down, and God has infinite knowledge and wisdom and knows everything, don't you think He's going to do some things that you don't understand? Yeah, I think that makes pretty good sense. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? God wants us to get with His program because He wants to give us the honor and the privilege of doing it His way. Being part of what He's doing. working and laboring for His cause. Well, we can't do that when we've got our own ambitions, our own ideas, our own preconceived notions. Because when God does something different than we think, we go on the run and we regress. God wants us to be restored. He wants us to realize that true love isn't doing it our way. True love is doing it His way. Do you love the Lord this morning? Is there something in your life that's not going according to your plan and you're on the run? Let me tell you with comfort that you're going backward. And God really wants you to be moving forward.